but very elegant. She put the head in front. What's a Dave got? He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. A head on a Dave. He's trying, but she's going to beat him.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. I'm with Ray Hickson, who I'll bring in soon. It's Group 2 Shorts Day. I'm extremely excited about this meeting. We've got great racing, obviously starting with the Newcastle Cup today. We move on to good provincial meeting there at Newcastle. Bowraville Cup Day, it's all happening. But obviously we're going to get stuck in a Randwick. Ray, how do you see the meeting, mate?
Yeah, Nick, it's a good one. Day one of the Everest Carnival for 2023.
Yes.
1 month out from the big race. And the big race, I guess, as you alluded, is the shorts, because we've still got a number of Everest slots up for grabs. We may find out one or two more after tomorrow's race, but there's still plenty of... I don't know about you, but I've found this race really tricky to work out.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to it. Interesting bunch in the Seven Stakes, the fillies in the T-Rose, the Dali T-Rose. The Bill Ritchie's taken a bit of a hit.
Yep.
With the Cameron handicap on today at Newcastle, but so I actually don't mind that because it makes the job easier for the horse I like in the race. So we'll see how we go.
Look forward to hearing about that. But yeah, I agree. The it's an interesting race, the shorts. You're either heavily with the favourite, or you could spec a few around it.
You could.
It's like there's going to be horses that are quite forward to get into this big $20 million Everest, or they're already got a slot. Do they go back, hit the line nicely? So you have to look at it that way as well in the back of your mind.
Yeah, obviously we've got a good track, a good four as it stands, 30 odd degrees on Saturday at Randwick, rail out 7. Be interesting to see how it plays.
Yep.
Most of our tracks have been playing relatively fairly, or if there is a pattern, it's been a pattern that's been off fence, which is, if there is a pattern, I don't mind that.
Especially Randwick,
yeah.
If it's going to be one. Looking back on it, as you said, with the very fast track, I'm going to go into the meeting with a slight on-pace advantage, but I'm definitely not going to overplay it as well, because they're going to have an ample amount of time to wind up if it is that bit off fence.
Well, we've got a 1,600-metre midway to start and a 1,000-metre highway is race two, with solid enough field. So any pattern that may be present through the day, we should get some idea from those two races over varied distances. But obviously patterns are things you've got to monitor through the day and adjust as you go on. Try not to put your cordy on too early.
Yeah.
And
everyone's fallen into that trap.
Yeah, see how we go. Anyway.
All right, let's roll into the headline act, which is the shorts. Obviously, the favourite in secret is $3. But Ray, how did you see the race, mate?
Well, I spent a lot of time scratching my head about the speed map in this race. Obviously, Overpass is going to lead from barrier one. That looks like it's a given. It's just a matter of what horses like Thelric from the outside barrier, Hawaii 5-0 first up at 1,100 metres.
Mm. Ridden with intent.
Whether there's intent. Now, you've got horses like Mazu Lost and Running. What do they do? I mean, Mazu's already in the Everest. He doesn't need to impress anyone. He just needs to hit the line and say, okay, I've come back. So
I think Mazu guaranteed will be come out neutral negative.
Yeah, that's potentially right, I think. Private Eye, we know, will be in the second half of the field. Lost and Running probably looks to be midfield or a bit worse. Horses like Remark in Secret, Buenos Notches with those soft draws, they should be stalking in that first half. So with all that, I tipped in Secret in the Concord, and I think I have to stick with her.
Yep.
I can't be super, super bullish. I think she's been really well found at the $3 mark, but she was excellent in the Concord, I thought.
Yeah.
1,000 metres has never been her go. She looked like a woolly mammoth in the yard. Well, not a mammoth, I guess, but she looked very woolly. She's only going to improve. Second up, she's had three goes. Two of them have been wins. The other one she should have won, which was the Surround against Sunshine in Paris. So we know she's high class. We know she's going to improve off what she did first up. She's even better off at the weights. She meets Remark 2.5 kilos better for a quarter of a length defeat. So she has to be the starting point. She gets run of the race kind of favours if she can hold up in that first half. I'd imagine she'll be on Remark's back again. I don't think he'll ever beat her again.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of whether something else wins the race. I have to be within Secret. if we do have that on-pace pattern that we suspect could happen, well, you've got to respect Overpass, don't you?
Yeah,
he's wound up to win this race.
Yeah.
He's had two barrier trials. He's had a race day exhibition gallop. Bjørn Baker took him to Hawkesbury races last Thursday, I think it was, to blow out the race day nerves and all that kind of stuff. So he's been absolutely primed to put in a big effort. He ran second in Nature Strip in this race last year and got in the Everest. He's going to be hard to beat. I think the wild card in the race is Buenos Noches. We don't know how good he is. He beat up what we would suggest are inferior horses first up, although Argenia is a good horse, and there are good horses in that race.
It ran good time.
It's been ticking over nicely. He's got that soft barrier, which I think he'll make some use of, and being in the first half, he's the one that I'm not sure. Like, he could step up and win the race and be in the Everest, and he could be the next, good sprinter, or maybe he finds the 1,100 metres too short. So,
sure. Well, he's a different form-wide perspective. And also,
Definitely. Look,
the line I was looking at him, I don't have him on top, but the line I was looking at him from another different angle is I know Argentina went to the 1,300 metres, and it didn't perform to market expectations, but it was heavily back. So you know that the bigger players are keen on that race. They like the race. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's fancied there, especially with the run under the belt as well. But for me, I'm with In Secret as well. I thought you summed it up quite well. To come in on the 58.5 kilos, gets the weight swing on a few there. I think she's definitely the horse to take out of that race. You just watch on the video and the sectionals will show you that she was just outpaced that little bit, that up tempo between that, probably that 4 to 2 when they really put the sprint on. But that last 100 metres, fastest last 200 metres of the whole entire meeting. Obviously, yes, he's over 1,000, but she's only going to improve off that to the 1,100 metres. And the figure she's come in on, I think this will be her best preparation without a doubt. Look, she was dynamic winning the Coolmore last prep, but what she's come in on, I can only see improving. Obviously, she's going to peak on Everest Day. She's not confirmed, but you'd have to think she's a $1.10 chance to be there.
You would think so.
So I think she's definitely the one to beat with the Suck Run as well from Barrier 4. The other one I'm going to spec is Ruthless Dame. Just again, looking for something different in the race. First up, won the Robert Sangster, did SP $13, was well ridden, but it just, to me, it's probably suited over that 1,300 metres, but it's just going to be that one where Jason Collett might just get it back to follow and can unleash over that last 100 metres if it's quite wound up. But that's the only other angle it's just from a price perspective, I can mark it around that $10, $11. So I'm happy to just have something on it, but I think In Secret is the play. I get your point about Overpass. If it was Rose Hill 1,100 metres, I'd probably put it on top.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we're ignoring some good horses here, too.
Private
Eyes, Marzu, Lost and Running. They're all proven. They're all around the $10 or more mark. Private Eye won the Gilguy first up last preparation and then ran second last spring and then ran second in the Everest for his next start. Marzu hasn't won for a little while, but he's just been around the mark in absolutely everything.
Yep.
And Lost and Running's had no luck at all. This time last year, he ran third in the shorts, was a really good run, and then he won the Premier at his second up run. So
he's a really interesting market horse.
Yeah, absolutely. So those three horses, I mean, they're at the top. We all know they could quite all easily be in the Everest. We're just looking at these new horses coming through.
Yeah.
And you're right, In Secret should be in for her best season as a mature four-year-old. And there's every reason to think that, well, we both agree, she has to be the horse to beat.
Yeah, well, Private Eye, look at his first up record. Wow. So, again, you couldn't begrudge anyone's opinion in this race.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's so many angles. But, yeah, In Secret for me and something on Ruthless Dame. All right, the head-to-the-head. Now, this is a bit of an interesting one. We're going to go to race 6, the T-Rose, the Group 2 T-Rose. Tiz Invincible versus Komochi. And there's also a few that we can speak about throughout the race, but it's quite obvious these are the two at the top of the market fighting for favoritism, and I'm sure there'll be divided opinions on these two horses.
Well, I'm going to have a pretty strong one. I think Komochi will beat Tiz Invincible and win the race. It's put up time for Komochi. She's been the eye catcher in both runs in the Princess Series so far. As we've seen, the Silver Shadow, I think she clearly should have won that. The barrier saw her get way too far back and she's stormed home to just miss. The Furious, again, she got probably a pair further back than Jason Collett wanted. They didn't go super hard.
No.
And again, she was breathing down their necks at the finish. So 1,400 metres, perfect. Barrier 5, perfect. With a lot of the speed drawn outside her. In the Furious, a lot of the speed was drawn inside her.
Yep.
So it makes it a completely different scenario. I would see Komochi being probably in the first half of the field, no worse. And I just hope she gets out into the clear when Jason wants.
Yeah.
Not when the rest of the field wants her to.
Dictated to, yeah.
Look, I think Tiz Invincible, 1,400 metres, I just don't know. We'll have to wait and see. She keeps winning this preparation, so you can't fault her for that. But I'm in Team Komochi for this run. I think that this is her chance to stamp her authority in this filly series.
Yeah, well, good to head-to-head because I'm going the other way.
There you go.
I'm with Tiz Invincible. I thought her last few bounds or that last 100 metres, she has another gear in her. I thought she was pretty stylish the way she did it. And right past the post, I think she's got some energy to come into this race where, for mine, I thought Komochi was at full exertion. But I think Komochi's definitely obviously going to be suited to the 1,400. There's just something about the way Tiz Invincible closed off in that race that just told me it has another fitness plus, and the way it did it, visually and sectionally, it can bounce off that again. So I think obviously the 1,400, it's the obvious query, will it get the 1,400? I think it will. 1,300, I'd be super keen. But Zach Lloyd, he's another one. Where does he get on the map? Like, is he going to get out at the right time? How much pace does the Waterhouse bot team want to put into this race? But we'll leave that up to him. He's flying, so he'll get it out at the right time. But out of the two, I'm with Tiz Invincible. I think she's a bet. And the other bet I'm going to have at odds is Unique Ambition for John Sargent. He's still a maiden, but it's coming out of that Karazana race that I really like. It was fancied that day, $4.50 into $4 late in the trade. Thought it kept building to the line really well. And as I said, I just really liked that race and I just don't want it to get under my guard around the $21. So I'm happy to play it as well.
Well, we've got a classic case there. Well, then Tiz Invincible's had two starts this prep for two wins. And
yep.
As I said, you can't fault that. Komochi's had two starts this prep for two flashing placings.
Yeah.
It is actually up to Komochi to say, okay,
yeah,
now's my time
to be the favorite in the flight.
That's right. Yeah. So and as we said, Tiz Invincible, whether she's got that extra 200 metres in her or she's got a nice soft gate.
Yeah.
As you sort of alluded to the speed here, well, I would imagine Tropical Squall.
Yeah,
looks to go forward from out wide, and you would imagine one or two of the other Waterhouse bot runners look to follow it across.
Yeah.
So there should be good enough tempo here. And I'm banking on it being strong enough, but not too strong.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that Tiz Invincible probably wants it that way too. Just that nice sort of even tempo. She's got the soft draw to get in the clear and sprint at the right time. Look, outside those, I guess the one at a little bit of odds I'm looking at throwing in would be Summer Loving. She's another one of those flashing light horses that she is also a maiden, surprisingly. Even she's run, some pretty good placings, particularly the Magic Millions, etc. She wasn't far from Komochi there in the Furious, although I still think Komochi probably had it covered as far as finishing speed goes. But the 1,400 metres, I think, is key to her chances, just getting that little bit closer in the run. But from a head-to-head perspective, it's Komochi for me and Tiz Invincible for you.
Yep, I just want to throw one more in there. If you're playing exotics, Private Legacy is not the worst 50-1 shot with the blinkers on for the first time, with a significant barrier change. Early quaddies or your wire exotics. I think it's a flight stakes horse, but I want to see it do something there tomorrow. But yeah, Tiz Invincible for me, but I think this is actually a great race and we're going to learn a lot out of it too moving forward. All right, the Fly in the Ointment comes up in the last race. The most shortest price favourite of the whole entire day will be race 10, number 6, Kaboo. There's a few different angles you could look at this race, because if you don't like the favourite, you're getting some fantastic prices around it. He's $2.15 at the moment. Ray, Kaboo, you with or against?
Well, I'm with. Whether I want whether I want to run in at $2.10 or something at this stage of proceedings, I'm not sure. He's a horse that's had no luck, yeah. Really. I mean, he looked like being a Golden Rose prospect this time last year.
I think he won the Rose.
Well, that's right, after toweling up Golden Mile in the up and coming.
Yeah.
And then he had to have a break. He resumed with a gutsy second behind Iona Merck, who was flying at the time,
yeah.
Back in June, and then had to go out again. I think he had a minor mishap temperature or something like that kept him out of his planned second up run. So they pulled the pin, start again. It's not usual you see a horse from the Waterhouse Bot stable eased up in a trial.
Mm.
Eased up's probably overstating it, but he was certainly not pushed out at all, as he let a few get past him in the Hawaii 5-0 trial a bit over a week ago. So, look, we know what Camus is going to do. He's going to jump from barrier two and pretty well lead this field, I'd imagine. And, look, you know, if Regan Bayless gets any level of control, he's a horse that, you know, they're aiming to get into the Golden Eagle. I would imagine he'll have to go through the Silver Eagle.
Mm, definitely.
Because even if he wins this race, it's a benchmark 88. His rating will probably only go to about 88 or 90, and that might seem safe enough for the Golden Eagle, but I reckon they'll go the Silver to try and make a bird of it. Pardon the pun. but yeah, look, he's the horse to beat here, and I don't think anyone would deny that. But obviously, speaking of flies in the ointment, is does the sixth emergency get a run, Gaza Blenka?
Yeah, that's. I think everyone, the main point, listening to the podcast today is if you like Caboon, just wait. There's no point to panic because the way, you know, these markets are shaped quite early, like it's priced with it in, the Gaza. So, but you will get better on the day, especially, you know, when it's in the field, it'll trade better.
Unless Dynamite Leaders are happening.
Yes, that's correct. You know. Yeah. Just like purely on face value, if let's say everything's all even, you're going to get a better price. So I'm happy to wait on Caboo, but yeah, as you said, look, for some reason I got this feeling it's going to get a run, Gaza Blenka. I don't know why, but there's no point guessing because
John O'Shea hasn't put up jockeys on these two horses, which is weird.
And then there's always one or two because wide gates or whatnot.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at those drawn wide, and just Cavalier Charles probably has to have a run before the Kosciuszko.
Yeah.
So whether that's this run or whether there's a race for him next week, I'm not sure.
Brosnan's got Barrett 17.
Look, there's possibility, but as it stands, he still needs six scratchings.
Yeah, to what?
There's Diamond Dealer came out, which gave Munitions a run, and he scratched. So Atmosphere's in the field. He still needs a few more scratchings yet before he is in the race. It might be a case of sweating on 7:29 in the morning for Gaza Blenka to get in the field. You know, look, I'm happy to take him on if he gets in the field.
Yep.
But as it stands, Caboo's the horse to beat.
Yeah, I was really keen Gaza Blenka a couple of weeks ago. When he got the chocolates, but I want him in the field because I'm really keen on Caboo today. So with that, as I keep saying, he's going to get out on the day, so I'm just going to keep my powder dry for now. But I really like Caboo as a horse. I always have. Look, that the way his first up run, I thought he went enormous there behind Iona Merck. Look, he was a bit fresh that day, but it was a huge return. Very strong rating race. He was challenged and he just refused to give in. Look, I probably thought he was half a run short that day, but it won't matter. If he repeats that, he'll be winning this, that effort. All he has to do is run up to that Iona Merck run, and he's very hard to hold out with the 57 kilos. And with the trial, yeah, I agree. It was a bit of a... But then I went and looked at the times. Y50 ran very fast time.
Yeah, he was out there to put on
a show. Yeah. So Caboo was, you know, sat handy to him, and they smashed the other trials by, you know, over a second and whatnot. Yeah. So I think he's had a good fitness base coming out of that trial.
He showed in his first trial behind Eduardo that he'd come back well. He floated along nicely behind Eduardo on that occasion, and And yeah, look, he was just there for the exercise in the second trial. So yeah, like that he's had two trials, and he gets in well at the weights. So he had 60.5 that day when Iona Merk beat him. So
yep,
he's.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is, if he repeats what he did to Iona Merk, he just wins. He'll beat this lot. But there's obviously first up. There's the he could pop. But I think he gets a lot. I think he gets map favors. I think he's going to go forward, race 10, be hard to run down. But the betting will be interesting late. And the other one, I think we spoke about this the other day, Atmosphere.
Hmm.
I think it's really big odds, and I can definitely have something on it.
It's funny, everyone seems to have found him as sort of a danger. Every second person I listen to has mentioned Atmosphere as the horse to throw in. And absolutely, I thought he trialled quite well against Tamerlane.
He's $17.
Yeah, so that'll come in. That'll come in a bit. He'll start around probably the 10s.
Yeah. All right, rapid fire. Let's go through it, Ray. Who's your overs for the weekend?
Well, over the odds. Yeah, okay. I think that will come out in race number 4 from memory. Yes. Osbred Flirt, number 8.
Yeah.
I've had a look over this race a few times and changed my mind a few times, and Osbred Flirt was always in the thinking.
Yep.
Caught the eye in her latest trial behind Redina. I like the way she hit the line the last 50. She bled her last start, which was at the Hawkesbury standalone meeting. She hit the front at the 200 metres, and you could see her sort of just stop.
Yep.
Pretty amazing, won that race quite well, but she did a lot of work there, hit the front, and then obviously whatever it happens internally when a horse bleeds happened to her, and she missed a place. She was brilliant on a soft 7 before that, with 60 kilos at the midweeks. She's got great, good track form. Starting at 1,400 metres from a soft barrier, all ticks. I think she has to run well, and she's starting to be found a little bit. I think she was $18 this morning.
Yeah.
I think we'll see her start closer to the 10, yeah, maybe even a little bit less, depending on any scratchings. But yeah, over the odds, race 4, number 8.
Yeah, over the odds for me, I'm going to go to race 5. Number 7, Protagonist. Thought he was solid there. Yes, had every hope in the rally mile, but I think he gets in really well at the weights with the 56. This is a horse who's won well first up when he's an import. He won well first up last preparation. Then he went and started $12 in a Doncaster and struck a heavy track. And then he struck a heavy track again. Mm. So I put lines through those runs. If he repeats his first up effort from the rally mile, or his first up effort from last preparation on a dry track, he's right in this race with the 56 kilos. And then the SP profile of $12 in a Doncaster, I think he's really well in. Horrible gate, yes, but that's why you're getting $12. So I think that's a little bit of a spec. And my horse, I can't leave out. I'm in love with him, Tazarel. I know Just Fine beat up on him last start, but he started 5-2, $3.50 off 35 day freshen. I just can't let him go around at $17.
So you shouldn't.
So I'll be playing those two for my overs. And the unders?
Well, the unders actually comes up in that race for me, which is the favourite, Just Fine. We talk about SP profiles. Well, he went around $11 chance in that race. Obviously, he was a drifter as well, open sevens out to 11s. He ran good time and he won quite nicely, but off the back of that win, he's all of a sudden favourite for the Metropolitan.
Yeah.
And, you know, nudging 2-1 in this race, which is much, much stronger.
Yeah.
And I couldn't possibly, you know, back him at that price. He could come out and be a really good, you know, staying prospect and confirm that. But I just, you know, after winning a 10-1, I don't want to take twos.
Yeah, I can see why, but you know, I know Montefilia was a bit plain their second up, but look at Montefilia, like she's very well in this race as well.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that.
I won't steal anyone's thunder.
I wouldn't describe a run as plain. I'd describe a run as, you know, as being a bit harsh. Second up, but yeah. We'll talk more about her shortly.
So my under the odds, I'm going to go to race 3, which was Straight Ace Up. Look, this horse has been going really good, midway grade. It's won its last two. Was run to suit their last start. Did run time, but it's just got to get out to the 1,600 metres up in grade, where there's a horse called Gan Taran, who I think is going to be hard to beat, who's down in grade and just looks ready to peak third up there. So I think Gan Taran's a good bet in the third, and I'm happy to be against the favourite straight acer. Sectional Star Ray or your trial horse?
Trial horse was a bit of a tricky one because we're getting into that time now where
they've all had
they're having runs and all that kind of stuff. So, look, I probably would just lay it on Taboo. We've seen him come through, trialed nicely. We've talked about him already. I think I'll just play it safe there and go with Kaboo race 10.
Yeah, I'm pretty safe here too. The sectional star in secret, 11-11, fastest last 200 metres of the day. We don't need to say anything more about her. So you're out wide, mate.
We're going to Royal Nowra.
Oh, beautiful.
For our out wide on Sunday. Nowra race 7, number 19, Oscar Charlie. Trained by Bjorn Baker. He needs a couple more scratchings to get into the field, but I think you'll get those. It's the Super Maiden, the last of the day. He's had the one start, Oscar Charlie, and it was in a Newcastle Maiden back in April. He started $3 and beat one home. He's been gelded, and he's trialling like a horse that's going to win somewhere first up. Now, Bjorn Baker doesn't have him nominated for anywhere else this week, so I'm assuming this is the race he wants to run in. He's got a couple of scratchings yet to come. He needs five scratchings to get a run, and there's already three. And there are a number of horses drawn particularly wide here. So I think he'll be getting a run. And if he does that, I think it'll be very hard to beat. So we'll go to Nowra race 7 on Sunday, number 19 for my out wide.
Well, there's Sunday night's dinner paid for. 5:15, so you can order Uber Eats at 5:30. After a result there. Mate, I'm going to back two runners at Newcastle in race 6. Number 5, Let's Try. Was 3 wide out on a limb there first up. Foot was really solid in a strong race. Mm-hmm. And also number 10, Curl Curl, who hit the line there first up over the 900. I think it would be more suited up in distance. So they're both actually around that $7, $8 mark. So I don't think there's any problem having something on the both of those two. All right, the all-important best bets. Ray, kick us off.
We've alluded to it. Montefilia, race 5, number 4. When you talk about horses well-placed, well, I don't think they come much better than this. She gets in on weight for age, weight in a set weights and penalties race. Mm. She hasn't won for a little bit. I think the last time she won, she towed up a horse called Very Elegant over 2,000 metres.
I can never get that win out of my mind.
I know, it was amazing. Jason Collett was on that day, and he's back on the mare this time. She's been... Look, she was everyone's eye catcher in the Winx Stakes, and that's part of the reason why she started $3 in the Chelmsford. And I think we said a couple of weeks ago, that it was a bit head scratching because...
Yeah.
When David Payne trained her, he would always kick her off at a mile and then go to 2,000 metres second up. Now, Chris Waller's taken over and he decided to start her off at 1,400 metres and then go to 1,600 metres. She hadn't raced at 1,400 metres for 3 years. She was always going to run well fresh and she did.
Yeah.
I just suspected that 1,600 metres second up would be too short.
Yeah.
And that's how it panned out. Look, the Chelmsford was a weirdly run race.
Yeah.
I thought her last little bit was acceptable.
Yep.
And it said, I want 2,000 metres. She gets barrier 3. Last time she raced at 2,000 metres was the Queen Elizabeth. She started $16. Prior to that, it was the Ranvet. She started $4.60 and a horse called Dubai Honor. Won that race. Moanga ran third. She has to be in the finish of this race.
There was too much market intelligence and money
Absolutely.
For her that day to say... She's not a good bet if you... Well, I really liked her. So, look, if she keeps getting out, which is the market is, then I've already on two runners. I'll probably have to play her as well to chop out.
How she is not favourite is staggering. I mean, we've got a hype horse that's taken the favouritism here. He might well get away with it. He might be, as we've said, an up-and-coming stayer. But she's so proven. She is so well in. And she looks to be going as well as ever. That's the case.
And looks to get some tempo too, which will suit.
Perfect for him. So that's my best. What's yours?
Mate, I've got 3.
Okay.
As always. I like having a couple. Look, they're all pretty short this week, but I think we can at least hopefully get 2 and possibly 3. But I like Ramwick Race 10, number 6, Kaboo. I think straight to the front, if it repeats what it did against Iona Merck, they're going to struggle to run him down. Now, this is going to be short, and I'll have to wait till Saturday morning before I bet to see if there's any scratchings. But Newcastle race 5, number 7, left field. It is going to be very hard to hold out. I think it's $1.80, $1.90, thereabouts now. But it's got some very strong form around the likes of Komochi. Its trials have been good. And I thought both of its runs have been full of merit. So if it repeats one of those again, it's going to be hard to hold out at Newcastle. And then let's go to Coffs Harbour on Monday. Race 2, number 1, Powder Man. Back to the home track. Needs first time 1,400 metres, so I think the market might take a little set against. But as I said, back to the home track. It's ready to peak fourth up. I think it's going to be hard to hold out. So recapping, race 10, number 6 at Randwick, Caboo. Left field, Newcastle, race 5, number 7. And Powder Man, Coffs Harbour on Monday, race 2, number 1.
Sounds good.
Beautiful. All right, well, that rounds us out for the show. It's going to be a great week of betting. Footy's on, so let's get into it.
Yeah, the footy's on. Unfortunately for me, the Knights play the Warriors while the races are going on in the afternoon on Saturday. So I may be a little distracted at times, particularly if the Knights happen to be in front. but yeah, look, hopefully we have a bit of success over the weekend and the Everest picture becomes a little bit clearer.
I think the Knights actually might get the Warriors, and then you're going to have to come to Suncorp Stadium versus the mighty Broncos, Ray. That might be...
Well, let's hope that's something that unfolds.